Is there anything that comes before the aliveness?
Nothing.
Like, no, it's always been aliveness for eternity. It's always been itself.
No, nothing comes before aliveness.
Right, so there is nothing? And why? Do we? Is there any idea? Just an idea, of course, just thoughts, but why? Is there a why? Or just that nothingness becomes vivified of itself?
Just potential, I suppose, energy in our limited words, an explosion of energy. And it's most probably doing it endlessly, creating.
So now that there's aliveness, is the nothingness, the void still there?
The nothing's the backside of it. It's not the backside. Yeah. And then everything's the front side. It's really not separate. It's simultaneously here. But you could
so it's like a volcano exploding and going back to itself.
Just like what they say is happening with the Big Bang, it's going out. But it's not really happening in the timeline that we manage it. Imagine it. The explosion of life, and then the life goes back in, it explodes. It's the way the whole of life is reflecting back, that the plant grows, goes down, the cloud forms, collapses, forms, the human goes up, down. It's always reflecting the circle of it, and the explosion of that energy expressing itself.
So that's always been, that's just one. As you would see it, as it's seen, it's just an eternity. It's an eternity. Is there an end to that? No, if it's eternal looking, that will ever always
be. It's not even that.
There's no time.
Say it didn't really begin.
Yeah.
But all of this gets really theoretical, and it has to come back down to the moment of that emptiness here.
The same time, full of energy and incomplete.
That emptiness,
And does it?
You've expressed in the samadhi the absence, but then the absence can be there where everything's here. And it is happening, even with the illusion of the something.
And does it repeat itself every second, every moment?
It's all. That's why it's all nothing, because it's continuously repeating itself.
So, when you look to the chair, there is no story. When you look to the chair, there is no story behind the chair.
What's next? Repeating itself.
When you look at the chair.
When you look.
Oh, yeah, and then you look away, and then you look back.
Is that what you think? Yes, but when I look to the chair, there is a complete story behind the chair.
There is steel, there is leather, it's red. So
there's a quite something happening in the brain. Yeah. But when you look to the chair, is that the same too? Or is it just, it's every moment something new? Is it...
I don't know, really.
But how do you experience this?
It seems like the hardest question.
No, because that's only a chair. But for example, I look to somebody. At the same moment, I've got an opinion about that person or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But it all happens in the brain, so nothing should happen. It's just...
It's like the energy changes from that, so opinions will still happen, but they're no longer happening in someone. Like, just the energy changes around from being something in the story to nothing and the everything. The energy shifts from personal to impersonal. But then thoughts can still appear. But there's no longer be the personal, so the personal stories going around, but thoughts can still appear, or opinions still appear, like, I prefer chocolate. But it's happening in that stillness now, rather than happening to someone in time. It's an energetic shift round. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's hard, we can never really know what each other mean, but I mean, it's hard to get gists of with all these different languages.
She wants to
ask a question. It's really difficult.
I will translate if she's in trouble.
Un giorno di notte sono andata a mangiare qualcosa perché avevo fame.
One night I went to eat something because I was hungry.
Io ho preso il latte.
Ho preso I had some milk.
Ho preso latte per bere.
To drink.
E ho sentito che c'è sentire è solo un'espressione che non è proprio questo sentire.
I felt, but feeling is just an expression, is not what really happened.
Se come una immagine che il latte era io, cioè il latte era io, e io bevevo il latte, ma il latte non era diverso da me.
I had the image that I was drinking the milk, but there were no difference between me and the milk.
Era tutto una cosa sola.
Everything was one thing.
Non so se io ho visto cosa ha notato questa cosa e ha detto ecco. Ho detto ecco, e cioè questo che è quello che esiste, non c'è altro, no? Non esiste niente.
I have noticed this and I have said so, that's everything, there's nothing outside this.
But dopo è tornato, immediatamente, ma alcuni giorni dopo è tornata l'identificazione.
After, not immediately, but a few days after, identification has come back.
Con il problema che prima mi opprimeva, perché nel momento che ho bevuto latte, prima c'era sembrava che c'era questo problema che mi opprimeva.
With the problem that was oppressing me, in the moment in which I drank the milk.
E per un momento
and then for a while the problem disappeared and everything seemed one.
E dopo dei giorni è tornato di nuovo l'identificazione con lo stesso problema.
So when identification came back with this problem that was experiencing.
The problem was that when you were drinking the milk, there was a problem when you were drinking the
milk. No, it was personal.
No, it was something personal.
Yeah.
Something else.
Yeah, this is part of awakening, and the beauty in that experience is the problem goes away when the world, me and the world, collapses and the problem goes away. There's actually no problems. There's only ever problems in the mind. And that's the beautiful part of awakening. And it does tend to go like that, that there's awakening happening and then it comes back and goes for a while, like it gets covered up so the problem comes back. But the beauty in that awakening experience was that you could see the problem can go without the problem being solved. There are no problems.
But I ask myself, why I come back?
It just has to until it runs out. It's like this energy. So say, it's like, well, there's still things, stories that need to be lived out. It would be like saying to a flower, you've got to stop growing now. Like, you've got to stop blooming now. Like, the personal energy has just got to work its way out. And what happens is, it's what seems to happen, and not all the time, is that these stories the energy of them runs out. So say if there's such a strong need for a lover or such a strong need to be loved, it's like the energy of that resolves itself by itself. But while there's still that need to be loved, that has to kind of act its way out. That story, it's like halfway through the film saying to the character, to, you know, the computer program who wants to experience everything, saying to her, there is no world, forget about it, stop there. She has to experience all that. That energy has to explode like that. It feels like you're next to see her more in agony, she really goes into agony now, the computer. She wants everything and then like she has to act out that story. She has to, but you can't work out what your story is beforehand, or you can't, that energy can't work itself out. But it's like, it's happening like the flower growing. And the most beautiful part is that you never made that awakening when you were drinking the milk happen. It happened.
Yeah.
And then that completely influences everything else. And everything before influenced that awakening. It's never separate. But to stop that problem, whatever the problem with is, to stop in the middle of it and say, there's no world, this isn't happening, it's only oneness or it's not two. It's like imagine you're just about to kiss your lover and it's like so exciting and they're so amazing and then you're like, you know it's not happening, there's nobody there. you gotta do it. It's the energy, just like the flower's gotta grow. That's got to, when it's happening and when it's high, it's fine, but when it's, well, sometimes when it's high, it's not so great, but when it's low, then the story comes back of why do I have to go through this again and why this one again? But it's not quite like that. That's just part of feeling low. It goes round in that loop. But it's not really happening in time like we think it is. So it feels like we've been acting out these stories for 10 or 20 or 30 years. But it's not... like they were saying in the film, they had a beautiful line where, you know, your past is only the way you imagine it. It's not the way we think past and future isn't happening. It's all happening here, really.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it sometimes feels like that, and it's part of the suffering story. It's like, when will I get over it? When will this stop playing? But it's like asking the film to stop halfway through. I mean, imagine us as the audience. Halfway through, it's like, okay, she's suffering, let's stop. We'd all be like, ah! It's got to go. But the thing about this message is it's never... It seems sometimes like, oh my God, this is so big, this problem, all these feelings, all these sensations, but it's always contained in love. It feels like when you're in that energy, though, oh my God, this is happening to me and I'm so alone and I'm so vulnerable. But it's not really like that. Everything is experiencing it with you. There's no separation between you and everything else that's happening. But it feels like sometimes that singular, like...
Ah, oh, yes.
Yeah. So really, basically, I have no answer to your question. I just went... Why does it keep appearing? But this is it's so beautiful, like, speaking with people. Like, it's the best... Remembering that you are this is just so beautiful. I know sometimes then it's like, oh, but why does it come back again? But, I mean, if there'd never been the lost in the suffering, there would never be the remembering home. The dog never gets to remember home. She just is always home.
And Lisa, after liberation, I mean, does identification happen with thoughts? Say, for example, like the mind's princess.
Thoughts still happen. And all sorts of thoughts, like, you know, but it's just a part of this. It's no different from the light, and it's the same with emotions. But you're not looking for thoughts or emotions to get something in the future, or it's just all happening.
But does it get also intense, like when you were talking yesterday about this fog?
Yeah.
Does it get also that intense, even if one is liberated? I mean, can thoughts become so intense that one that one believes in the thought.
that doesn't tend to happen, but I forgot what I was saying. Something that tickled me. Oh. But the problem is with talking too much about my experience and the way that it tends to happen when the fog is dissolving or dissolved is there's not really a want to claim anything. So there's not really a want to say, yes, I am free forever, or the fog will never come back, because you don't really want, there's not really an urge to want to claim any state. But so the answering of that question is always a bit avoided. You tend to would call liberation, or whatever we call this, the dissolving of that energy moving away, that energy changing around from going into the personal to the energy changes around. So it's like there's this nothingness which is everything, so this boundlessness, and the person's appearing in it. But there's no longer a looking through the person as that's me and that's who I am. So it changes round. You know what I mean? The energy shifts. But having said that, who knows what's going to happen? Lisa might get a bump on the head tomorrow and suddenly, whoop. You know, you never know what life is. We never even know tomorrow's going to happen. We just don't know what this is about. And you tend not want to claim to be something. But at the same time, like, it is an energetic shift, so you kind of shooting yourself in the head talking about this. But then if we go back to what you're asking me, really what you're asking me, Winnie, is can you promise me a free future? And your freedom is always here. But can you promise me, because you're, the way it's being asked, or energetically, it's like you're looking to know a guarantee is going to happen. But there's no guarantees. The only freedom you have is in that nothingness that's here. Whatever's happening, is that stillness that's here. I know I'm always contradicting myself and going round in circles, but it's when it touches that, you know, when you suddenly are. Your guarantee is this, not the idea of something. Always this. Right here, right now, does that nothingness, does that I am, or that amness prior to all that you think you are, which is nothing, which is emptiness. The backside of I am is empty. I can imagine Tony wrecking that. Who's there?
Yeah. It's just that a couple of days ago I was going through like a rough time, and yeah. There was this strong identification. I could see also that the suffering was aggravated by me believing in these thoughts, and I was wondering whether in liberation, is that because there is nobody there, then there is also nobody anymore believing that story, right?
Yeah, stories can still appear.
And my suffering was because I was believing in it, and it was just.
But it's like the stories seem to still appear, but they're no longer the way the world is. They're just appearing in boundlessness. But
there is no identification.
Yeah, but. So who is it that saw that myth, that identification with the thoughts? Yeah, this is all that, where it gets dodgy with the mind, because it begins to split off into good and bad, to the enlightened and the unenlightened. So which part of you saw the one that was identifying? The freedom is in the boundlessness in which everything's appearing, and then there's a loss of interest in identifying you more as one thing or another. Because you see that in that assumption, there's a, in what you tell me, there's an assumption still that you are something looking at something. There is this is where consciousness teachings are great, because you could say there is consciousness. What is looking at all that? What sees all that? It's not the one that thinks that it's still identified. That's a thought. It's not the one that thinks that it's still identified. It's, that's still in movement.
Mm.
But it's not the one that consciousness, you can go, it's even more than that. It's not even consciousness. That's just an easy way for me to try and remind you of this other freedom, that you are that in which it's all appearing in. You're not the one that sees the ego or sees the problems. All of that's appearing in freedom. The freedom isn't underneath it, but I'm going to say it's underneath it. But it isn't. It can't be. That would be separate. But maybe you can get a sense of what we're trying to remind ourselves about. You might need to play that back. It's being recorded. God knows what we were talking about. We got lost in each other.
Didn't experience it like that.
I was absolutely lost in winning there. I was I mean, he was like, but it's being recorded, so you can have it back in the no backness. In the only moment there is.
To me, it felt very alive. What you
It
was like sort of finding some kind of no ground with your eyes closed, and then but all the time signaling to us what happened. So it was very communicative that you are not the one who has every answer easily ready, and also got lost, and then whatever. It just sounded to. It's nice to witness that. So, and it's always I've heard it 1,000 times, but in the happening, it's new again.
It's always fresh, yeah. Yeah, I used to love it when you go back to talk, and then someone would say the same line again, and you'd be like,
little things of
I remember the big thing of like, it was such a sweet moment realizing that nothing wasn't this black hole. I used to think of it as a black hole, and then and then the moment I realized that was my thought.
I have problems with the word nothing. Because it may be very English oriented.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
Because in Dutch it's not something.
Nothing is
totally nothing, you know. So it's not a negation of exist, that something is moving or is existing or what, or
it's not a negation.
But it's not negating aliveness, but just that the word.
Yeah, nothing can mean two things in English. It can mean no thing, or it can mean the negation of everything.
Yeah, but I think that last thing is
not a negation of things, no.
No, that's not. I don't feel. It feels to me like thinking, like dogmatic things. Nothing. Everything is too polarized.
Mm.
When I hear it, and it can't be like that.
No.
But it's just inexpressible.
Yeah.
That's what I. No words. It's like via negativa, a negative way to, just you can only say it's not this, it's not that, ad infinitum all the time.
Yeah.
But still, you that is also.
And I sometimes kind of think of non-duality like art. Are any of you artists here? Like art is always growing and moving, so it's like speakers of non-duality are going to be like this as well. So like, there could be this new way of painting suddenly, or this new phase of something, and for 10 years that's the new thing. But then if the one person does that again, then it doesn't work, nobody appreciates it that time, so they do the same thing again. But the first time it was really wonderful. It's like non-duality is like that, because you can never get it in words. The words are always evolving and changing. The mind wants to stick to a certain way of saying it. And this is what I love about all these new expressions and new speakers now.
Yes,
there's an explosion of different varieties. Because you can't. And it's that's like art. You can't suddenly say, this is it, this is the pinnacle of art. It's always developing. That's the beauty of it. The same with music.
Yeah.
It's always moving.
That's my feeling with nothing and everything, and even that it's old too.
Yeah, it's moving on from that now.
Yeah.
And then that one will be moved on from, and then that one, and then a couple more generations, and it will just go. It'll be like, you know, the Buddha who held the lotus up, and everyone's like, the lotus flower.
But then, again, there's the Heart Sutra, which is, form is emptiness, and emptiness is form, and for me, that's still standing.
Oh, yeah.
It's still the pinnacle of...
Oh, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
But emptiness, what I decide, well, come to think about it, or what I you know, contemplate is emptiness is just, it's indescribable.
Yeah.
Emptiness is...
And that's why apparently the Buddha said emptiness is...
Emptiness of concept.
But then he went back to fullness as well, he flipped over to the other side. So there couldn't be any concept of what emptiness was.
Yeah. I've been in Buddhist stuff a long time ago, but a long time. This was for me it, you know. But without getting it, of course, but I left it in anyway. I come to think now, and I also am reminded of what you said before the movie. That, and that's maybe more Hindu thing, which I didn't like because it sounded Christian also, that truth is relative, is relational, it's not relative. So, and when you said to love your story, I have a lot of difficulty with loving my story. Story is not the thing you should stick to.
Yeah.
Story is, in a sense, you know, still in my story, but to love your story truly is sort of falling in love with your story as well, and with whatever sees that or knows that or which is, you know, which is pure love. So to that the two kinds of love fall in love with each other. Painful love story, which is always painful, but still love, what you say, whatever. And
Vanessa,
I see that, and that gives you. It also gives me. I think it should be. We are totally relational. I like that word. You know, between.
What do you mean by relational?
Well, that it's not two and two in a sense. Two kinds of love. The story love, which is an addiction, and so on and so on, and it, which is. Wanting, but still that to really fall in love with your own story is heartbreaking as well. I've never done that. Probably not, can't do it, but it didn't happen. I only thought this other kind of love could shine on that. So I don't know how that movie would be, but it doesn't matter. But still, it's that thing for me, it's no longer form. Emptiness is a bit heavy still. I mean, but the other thing is more feeling, and to me you represent more the feeling way of exploring this.
And it's totally about the experience rather than what I'm saying, and that's
what I love about you. it's so recognizable more, I don't know. Well, anyway,
the intellect, really you got me excited about the falling in love bit. The story begins to be taken less as something that happened to you. It's like you see the absolute divine play of it all, and it was all just such a perfect It was like a river going down the mountain. Mm. It was such a perfect... And it had the bits where it smashed against the rock, and it had the bits where other things got lost and separated and moved. And then you see how it comes to the perfect ocean at the end. And sometimes it takes that moment at the end to then see the beauty of the movement that was before.
Mm-hmm.
But the film is great for reflecting that, when you see the journey that she goes through.
And that also is a relief, you're talking about art, it's a relief that you can read books again, right? All these stories, you know, you know, like novels and so on. I think a good novel is where that happens, what we're talking about, you know, that whatever the story is, but it's about some kind of redemption or whatever.
I used to be a playwright, and they used to say that all stories were based on the Jesus story. It's always about going home. Every story, no matter how, even if the author doesn't know it, it's the only thing you can really write about is the Saviour, finding the Saviour thing. Or so, finding that Saviour. There's a group that I was with in Utah, they'd written a whole book on films, just they love films. And there's so many weird films that you'd never put in this sort of category, like the X-Men, the weirdest films, like huge book of all these different stories, and they write about that kind of, like how it's always a journey looking for home. Mm-hmm. And it's always reflected everywhere. Oh gosh, it's 6:15. That's it. So make yourself at home. It looks like everyone's been here for ages, but everyone's new and making themselves at home as well. Well, we have been here for a few days. So true freedom, oh gosh, here it comes. That was a shock for a while. True freedom is the end of fighting anything. That's so full on. I mean, this is really radical what's being talked about. It's the end of any... We could say there's so many different languages for it. It's the end of the person that resists anything. This is the collapse of that one that thinks it has a life and needs to control and manipulate its life and is in relationship with the flow of life, and I mean the flow of life which seems to be external. It's the collapse of that energy that thinks that it's in relationship with something. So that's a really full-on statement. Like, I say it, and then I sometimes hear, not all the time, I hear people speaking against something, and it's not that there's not preferences, the body's always going to have preferences, but really, you're not, who cares about the preferences? It's really full on, this. You will not find freedom while you still want an outcome. But that's so okay if you want an outcome. If you want an outcome and that's the energy that happens and you want to get somewhere and you want it a certain way, then that's perfect. But you will be in resistance to the flow. Sometimes the flow will go the same way that you want, but it also won't as well. And they'll be like, I will make you into what I want. And there's so many different ways you could potentially speak about it, and none of them are really right or wrong, because there's no absolute truth. There's just the end of that one that thinks that it's separate from this. So often people are asking me, like, or asking, what could I do to get there? Or they're talking about choice. And I don't see choice any separate from the flow of life. Like, I don't see a my choice separate from the flow of life. Like, if you look at the way that life's moving, it's always one thing to another thing. That's what makes it no thing, the fact that the things are always changing. One thing to another thing to another thing to another thing. It's like choice is happening everywhere in a way. Like the fact that it's rainy today or quite cold, or the fact that there wasn't any eggs for breakfast, or the fact that there was so much toast, or the fact that you're a woman, or the fact that there's a pain, or that there's a feeling of love, or that somebody offered you a cup of coffee. Like choice is kind of, it's not really a separate, well, it's completely not a separate individual thing. Choice and movement is always happening everywhere, but it's not an individual thing. And you could say, in a way, there's not choice and movement happening everywhere. Like, it's, choice is just a made-up word, but it's like the flow is always happening. And there's such fear from the individual of the flow. What's this flow going to do to me? Where am I going to end up from this flow? Where is this river going to take me? It's like this flow of energy. Life is like this flow of energy moving through. And it's not about you in relationship with the flow. You are the flow. And it's the collapse of that one that's trying to stop the flow. It's like, go back, flow. Or let's rewrite your flow. But it's really full on, because it means that that one that has an idea of what it wants from life collapses. That's the freedom, not the idea of what could be, would be, should be. And everyone always is obsessed with the idea, so how do I get there? And that question is coming from a perspective of I'm separate already, that I've been acting separately from the flow. It's like life is taking everything there. I mean, it's not really going anywhere, but life is flowing, life is moving. It's not really about you or what you do, but it's not then saying don't do anything. It's not implying that, or there's nothing you can do. Like the urges and the impulse and the external influences will appear exactly the right time and exactly the right moment, and that movement will happen. And it's every little detail. When the mind starts thinking, I don't want that for dinner, how do I not eat that for dinner, or like, why do they cook that, or why does that person not clean the shower? It's not that you don't ask them to clean the shower in the moment, but as soon as this mind starts obsessing about it, it's trying to get out of the flow. Like, this is really hardcore stuff. This isn't light, this is giving up everything which we think makes us human. Our independence, our ability to control our environment. But don't worry, it's not something you could even do. It just kind of happens. You find yourself at these meetings and you're like, oh, or yay, or whatever it is. Or it becomes so apparent that you just can't control your partner. You can't control your kids. You can't control your dog.
I agree with you.
Last time that her boyfriend kept saying to me, but you don't want a friendly dog, and I was like, I really haven't given it any thought. And he was like, I would want a friendly dog, and I to that point it never even entered my head the possibility that Khaleesi could be friendly or it could be different from what it was. It's just the way it is. She just does it. I don't even see her as unfriendly.
She's
lovely. Yeah, I see her as, or my feeling is just absolute love for her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a more interesting dance when humans are around.
For her.
Yeah. There's nothing that's going to hurt you. It feels like there is something that the flow is going to lead you to somewhere which is going to hurt you and take from you. But it can't. You aren't separate from that movement. The body, it's amazing that we can perceive this as humans, but the body is going to move into a different form eventually, and in a way is continuously moving into a different form. You're never ever the same body. The body's always moving. Everything's always moving and pulsating. But it's not going to end up in a train wreck. And I know the imagination can produce so many funky imaginations. And we've got all this information that we watch from the TV where we see war zones and blood and death and destruction. These films as well. They make it seem like it's more a disaster than what it is. Or there's more potential disaster than what there are. Imagine if we didn't have the news and the films. We wouldn't have ever even seen blood, or, well, we would have seen blood, but not killing or anything. Most of us wouldn't have even seen death of the body. The only suffering of the human is that you are separate from life and you're not loved, and that you've got to look after yourself. That you're rejected in some way. That's the suffering. And then the movement to try and control that. And you'll never ever find it in the movement. Your freedom is in yourself, which is everything. The stillness that you seek is always in what's appearing, not just inside the body, in the flow as well, in everything. And animals are amazing, like, reflection of this. If you go and stand and look at these fat bottom cows, have you seen the fat bottom cows, which are meat cows? They're not sitting there pondering their future and pondering the fact that their body is going to be given up to human bodies. We've got it. I mean, it's so... We eat the fat bottom cow. They're not sitting there feeling abandoned by life, or feeling like... They're not living in the story of what's going to happen to me in the future. Why is life eating me? Why is life going to do this to me? Why is life going to destroy me? Why am I not good enough to survive? Why am I not good enough to have my independence from this field? Why am I not better than the other cows? Or why do I get selected for the eaten one? Well, Khaleesi's not pondering out there why she's attached to a leaf. And everyone's in here nice and warm. None of this has ever been true. It's only been happening in imagination. The cow is eating free. It just eats. Nothing else. Just eats. Just full sensation. It's even beyond full sensation. It doesn't even know it's a cow, separate from the food that it eats, or the field, or the farmer that feeds it every night. It just is pure beingness, and that pure beingness is absolute love. The cow is just experiencing, or I don't even know if it's the cow, there is just the experience of absolute love. And that's what's happening in every human being too, but the focus and the energy has gone into the fear and the rejection. And it's kept... The beautiful thing about the human mind is it's kept trying to fix that. It's kept trying to fix the situation to feel more loved, to feel less scared. And that activity has kind of grown and grown and grown. the only freedom you'll ever find is in what's happening. And that means standing at the airport because the plane's late. It means not being fed what you wanted originally. Like, the freedom is in the experience, not out of it. You, honestly, everything can be enjoyed. Everything. Everything's free. It really is, you know. And what begins to happen, it seems, in a lot of people as awakening starts, is this becomes more, this thing gets seen. So a situation which has irritated the hell out of you, and you really thought it was the situation, suddenly is happening, but there's just love. There's just freedom, and it's seen. It's so obvious. It's not the situation. Might start saying, oh, I don't know why, mind might be saying, oh, this is fantastic, but the mind might also be saying, I don't know why I came, I'm uncomfortable, this seat's uncomfortable, or I want something else, and that's the suffering. It's not the act of being here, and that's the suffering anywhere you go. And I'm just pointing it out, I don't know what the pointing out is doing, I don't know why, but that's not going to lead you to anything, trying to work out your environment. Trying to find a better, more comfortable situation. That functioning was only ever to create a more successful living environment for the human. It was never about finding your comfort. You know what I mean? Like, your comfort as in, like, your personal comfort. It was just about the body having a better living situation, the ability to judge things and compare. But the human got too focused in my emotions, what I feel, and it get obsessed with trying to find pleasure in experience. It's like the sensation of the bum on seat. It really is this simple. It's the air, it's the light, it's the breeze on the skin, it's the sound of this voice, but not the sound of this voice of what it means and what you'll get from it. It's the discomfort, it's this discomfort in the body. It's the emotion of love, if there's love in the body. It's not really in or out, but we're just trying to point to what's happening. And it seems that so many different, not just non-duality, traditions are always trying to point back. Even in Buddhism, I used to study Buddhism for many years, they're always trying to point back to the moment, and there's so many different ways in which they point to it. Like, when I first heard about this, they used to say in Buddhism, you've got to be in the moment. And then it became really obvious that you were the moment, you couldn't even be the moment. It was more intimate than that. But there's so many different, even in Christianity you can hear this. And other things build around it. So when you think it's your partner, or you think it's the messy house, it's every little detail, or you think it's the lack of food, or too much food, or the body, or the pain in the body. That's never the problem. The people, mostly the people. It's so radical. That's really radical. Are you sure that it's not my husband that's the problem? Are you sure it's not that he gets angry? You can be free in someone's anger. It's just sounds, it means nothing. You can be free when someone's telling you you're the worst person in the world. And it's not in the meaning of it, it's in the sounds of it, it's in the appearance of it. And I'm mixing up all my levels and words, and I'm always getting slated for that. You, who's this you? But I'm just trying to point back to that freedom. It's easier if I say you. You can bring in Naho to then say, who? And I love all these different speakers, because as soon as you begin to get used to one language, in comes someone else saying something opposite, and the mind's like, hang on, I thought I'd got someone there. I was listening to Stan the other day, and Stan was just darting around language. I loved it. Like,
Anik, I can't find them.
Ask now.
The mind can project onto this body, it's easy for this body to say it. Trust me, I've bucked against this so much. It's like, no, it's my partner's fault. I assure you, that was the biggest one. My partner. It was definitely the man's fault. Then the money, but firstly the man.
And then that's the same if you say it's my own fear.
Yeah.
In a way, that's the same if you say it's the other.
Yeah.
But if you say it's fear.
If you say it's you as well, or my guilt.
Yeah.
Or my doing something wrong, blame and guilt are the same thing. There's no real eternal, external. Like, guilt tends to be the internal, but there's not really. There's no difference. Even saying...
So, if you get a feeling of guilt or fear, then it's also like what you call the flow of life, in fact what's coming and disappearing.
And it's kind of what happens with those sensations. Guilt's already a removal sensation. Guilt's already, I've done something wrong. So there's a feeling, and then I've done something wrong to have this. But either way, that's got to play out until it does, whether it goes outwards or internally. But the mind's going to keep trying to fix it in the flow. Well, there's guilt, there's guilt. Well, there's blame. And it's not saying that you shouldn't experience that or feel that, but you're not going to find relief from it trying to sort it out in the flow. Even trying to sit there and get rid of it or meditate on it, it's just going to last until it disappears. And these talks keep trying to point back to the immediacy of what's happening. And at some point, that will stop happening, but... it's not even really some point. It seems like a point in time, but it's really not a time-bound thing. And it's not like anybody got here before you. It's not like that the mind will then go, she's got it before me, he got it before me, why do they get it before me? There's not really, it's not in a time-bound thing. It's not really like you've got another 10 years for it to wind out.
Yeah.
It's always the immediacy of what is. And you can be... and this can be sensed even when the guilt's appearing. The less and less the focus goes on stories, you can... there's this freedom that's there, buzzing. And then the mind goes out on the stories. But what? And that freedom is timeless. It's got nothing to do with time. And it's got nothing to do, obviously, with you.
Yeah.
It's the full stop in the...
as soon as you get a feeling, then you make a story, and then time comes in.
Yeah.
And you have a whole story. I have to do that in 10 minutes.
But it's normally always the feeling first, so it's normally always a sensation appears, and then the mind tells the opposite story to try and get out of it. So it's like a sensation appears, and then it's like, why did he do that? Like, So a sensation of uncomfortableness appears. And then it's like, he did that, he's made me feel angry. Or a sensation of love appears, and it's, she did that, she made me feel love. So it's like a funny thing that happens. It always tells different stories. I'm uncomfortable because...
When the story is coming up...
Yeah.
What should... And you mentioned that the story is coming up. Yeah. What's the best thing to do then? How do you have...
I love it.
No, what could be the reaction? What should be the best reaction? Because, yes, you get into your story, yeah. you got a feeling, a certain feeling, so you...
It's like a wave. That wave's got to... You know, like a wave in the ocean? So, like this motion and this story and this thing, it's got to keep going until it collapses, which really gives you no answer at all.
there is the acceptation of the emotion, of course, but that starts the story,
is,
like
but
you
the
were
thing
saying.
Is what's happening is, this is a perfect example, sorry to use it as an example, is there is a slight feeling, more than likely, that you're not, there's not even awareness of, and you don't even need to be aware of it, but there's a feeling of fear of not being able to control the future when I was speaking, and then the mind comes up and goes, okay, how can we plan to cope with this in the future?
Yes.
So there's a discomfort that happens around what's being said, like, I've got to work this out then. I've got to contain this. And so there's, but then the focus goes on the opposite story. So there's like there's a discomfort, a feeling of fear or whatever it is, very, and then it jumps into storyland of the opposite. Okay, so how can I fix it?
Yeah, so it's like you realize yourself what is happening.
Yeah. I don't even know if you do realize yourself, because who is it that realizes? It's just that speaking's happening now. They might be putting meaning on it, but who is it that realizes? Who are you? There's no difference between... Is there a difference between internal, what we call internal thought, and external words?
In a way, not.
No. So who is you that's going to realize this, what Lisa's saying? Isn't Lisa already you?
But the emptiness can mention, I can have the knowledge. Let me see. If you go back in the emptiness, and it's like there's this little voice in me that can see how crazy I am in the reaction, and there is a knowledge of what is happening at the same moment, and you say, how silly. Why do I have to react? So you understand the how the ego reacts, and in the moment itself. So, and sometimes okay, just let go, because you just realize. But
all of it's an impersonal functioning. So what happens is there's an ego reaction. You've been taught that your happiness is controlling the flow of life. So that body, it's not even you, that body, so there's been an activity that's most probably happening in the brain, the unhappiness is caused by the flow of life and you have to control it. So an activity goes into that, a conditioning or whatever that's come from everything that's ever happened, that activity that happens, blaming others and blaming the environment, is not separate from the Big Bang, it's caused everything to get here. And then in this moment, it seems to be, but it's not, an external. It's all one energy. It's telling you that it's not in the flow of life. It's not. That's not the problem. And then there's another energy that comes up when this one's coming up and says it's not that. And then they both collapse. But both of them are of the same functioning, and both of them are happening in boundlessness. And your freedom is that I that was there when that voice came up originally of the blame, and then the second voice. You know what I mean by the I? And what happens is the energy will change at some point from feeling like you are that one in that conversation to that I, which isn't really underneath it, but we can say underneath just to try and talk. You know that I that never moves, that's always been there, no matter what?
Yes.
When that body's there, when the Big Bang was there, and that I is absolute emptiness and is nothing. It's not like the I is a something. It's everywhere and nothing. But it's amazing the way that it's happening, this thing. It's like the question, how do I get there, it's like I could give an answer or I could say this and it both collapses, but it's not about that. It's about that I-ness, but the focus keeps going into the storyland, keeps going into fixing me and these this world of me. It's always about that original I. And when the story comes up of how do I fix it in the future, it's normally because there's an experience of fear and lack of control. And so then it just plays in that story, the surface story, even though there's no surface story, but the story of how do I control this? What can I do to make my future better? And it just, all it wants to do is avoid this sensation. But your freedom is not in the future. It's not in sorting that out. It's in that original I. But this is happening. You are teaching yourself, not Lisa teaching you.
That's right.
But who is teaching who? So the question then has to be, so I say, you are teaching yourself. Who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm. But it's like you've got sometimes a feeling that it's almost crazy, because it's like laughing with yourself when sometimes it happens. It's so thin,
yeah,
the line. But it still happens.
Yeah.
And
it will stop, just like, yeah, everything eventually moves into something else. That energy will move into something else. And it's not happening in time like we think. It's always happening here. It's like this kaleidoscope. It's really, I see it just like this kaleidoscope. So it's like it's always, those colours are just moving, but they're always in this stillness. Or you could call the blackness the stillness. They're always, but they're just colours moving, giving the appearance that something's happening. There's nothing actually happening. It's always the same energy representing now. You know what I'm...
Yes,
are you going to send it? Yeah.
You talk about the I, the personal I,
yeah,
and you talk about the other I. It's the other I, you can, you need a word, you can also call it it, or the goddess of the source. You mean that?
Or isn't it?
Yes.
Goddess of the source?
Yeah, it's a word, God, or the source.
Oh, the source, yeah.
Or the,
yeah,
Lord. Of, yeah. It's a name, you call,
yeah,
it I because you need a word.
Yeah. So, yeah, you could call it God. But then,
yes,
the most important thing is that God, that I am-ness, like every speaker splits it off in different ways, that I am-ness is nothing. Like, it always comes back to nothing. Like, it's nothing. It's not a thing. Yet it's everywhere and everything. But it's so vibrant here. It's buzzing away. It's everything. And it's like when this is remembered, it's not even you as a body hearing it, it's like everything's remembering itself. But you, it's always been there. Like my mum was so cute the other day. She's 72. She's going to be like, oh, thanks, Lisa. Yeah, she's 72. And she was saying just before her birthday, I really don't feel like I'm 72. And my friend said to her, no, you feel the same aliveness as when you were 3. And she was like, yes, I do. And she was like, you felt that same age. Your true nature is timeless. And my mum was just like, oh, yes, yes. But it's even prior to the birth of that body.
Yeah.
But you can remember it in the sense of, like, when you were 2, you've never aged. It's a crazy thing when you, like, begin to name age yourself. The body, yes, is aging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful thing. And I never mean to deny the body. It's a beautiful appearance. But the body is aging. Just like everything is changing, 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 changing. But your essence never ages. It's perfectly still. And it's always been absolutely free. And infinite, beyond the words of infinite. It's not even awareness or consciousness or, you could say, a looking or something or an experiencing, but it's using the body to experience. The experiencing, it's using the body to be able to experience. And it's nothing, it's never affected by anything. And the human, though, is just focused so much on the experiencing, it's forgotten this side. It's forgotten its side that it's free. What an amazing game, though, because then it remembers. I mean, I'm talking loads of bollocks in dualistic ways and some things, but you might be just getting a little sense of what's been talked about, of your freedom. And it's not something that I'm giving to you or anyone can sell to you, even though this retreat costs so much money. It's not something that anyone can give to you. It's always been there. There's not even someone separate from that I, that God. I love the word God. Particularly for this dog backwards. But God's always been there. It's never been in the chapel. He's never been out there judging you external. But you can see how Christianity even formed like the first guilt, because the first guilt was the first self-consciousness. You can even see how all these stories, and then you've got to, it's so beautiful. And then somebody was saying yesterday, I think it was you, like, why doesn't other people get into this? Why is this story just into this? But then, in a way, I think that every story is about going home. That's all the story could possibly be. Yeah. It can only be about going home.
But what the religions have done is in the going home is perhaps is it that they're saying you have to deserve it, you have to better yourself,
yeah.
You have to not sin,
yeah.
You have to be a good person again, and you have to not sin and forgive everyone, and forgiving someone implies that they've done something wrong.
Yeah.
So just in a, like you'd say, a loop. So
yeah.
They destroyed the idea, any religion has destroyed the idea that
yeah.
We're all home already and we're just on the path remembering we are, and we have to deserve it and better ourselves. I guess there's still some anger that what a bunch of lies that's created so much suffering, but
yeah.
I have to not sin, and who's going to decide
yeah.
what a sin is? A bunch of old men telling the whole world.
Oh, we're back to men again.
Who created religions? The women don't need religions. The men?
Yeah, guys.
Not all of us are bad.
No, it's about deserving. We don't have to. We already deserve.
Yeah.
We fully deserve all of it.
Yeah.
Huh?
It's a crazy journey that has to be gone on. Because in a way, though, we can say negative things about religion, but I'm pretty sure that Lisa wouldn't have begun to get interested in this subject if the Buddhists hadn't said, you've got to meditate and you can get there.
But Buddhism isn't a religion. So there's no God there, huh?
Oh,
separate from you. Well, anyway. It's true. You have to be on, perhaps we all have to have been on a road to suffering. In a fictitious linear road to get here, to see we deserve it all.
Yeah.
We deserve the whole cake and all the frosting we can eat.
I just think it's so beautiful.
Yeah,
everything that ever's happened had to happen to lead to freedom. It just had to be like that.
Yeah.
And what an amazing trip. This is better than any film, any piece of art, anything. Like, this is full on most creative experience that will ever happen. And everybody goes home. There's nobody left out, because that's your nature. It's just you pretend and think, well, it's not even you, but life pretends and thinks that it has lost something. And everybody, like my gran died last year, and she was very anxious and wound up about life. But in the last 4 or 5 years of her life, she got Alzheimer's. And she just forgot herself, and it was the most beautiful childlike thing to watch. She forgot herself. So she just She'd just sit there and people would be like, it's terrible, she just sit there. She had no sense. Time to eat. Like, her whole life she'd been so skinny and elegant, and then it was like, more cookies? Cookie time? Everybody goes home. The brain, because it's, I presume it's just a functioning in the brain, so when the brain dies, you get forgotten. And then there's just that infinite, like if you hear Sam's story. I'm going around all the personal things today. If you hear Sam's story, sounds like I have a story.
What's the thing?
It's like, oh, I'm just a black hole. I'm literally going to bastardise the hell out of Sam's story now. This is Lisa's made up version of the Sam's made up version. Of like, this is what Sam told me a while ago, but it might not be the same thing now. It's always changing stories. But it was that he had this operation on his heart and everything faded out. He died and everything faded out into that love. And then he came back to life. I don't know, they brought you back to life in some way, Stan? They brought you
back. They brought you again.
He's dead again.
Fresh start.
And then the forms came out of that light. They came back in again. Like, so it mounted it back into that oneness. And then suddenly the forms began to come back again out of it. They all are it. I thought that was insanely beautiful when Stan told me. I've totally bastardised it into Lisa's version.
I will sit there after you when I tell my version.
Yeah. You go, you can tell it now.
Yeah.
Stan's like, God damn it, didn't I have no stories yet?
Yes.
I cannot. Yeah, I
can't.
Yeah.
So,
no, but you have such an operation, and then they did something wrong, I don't know what, and I saw how the nurse and the doctor, they are running, and I thought, there's something wrong here, and then there was the gun, and there was nothing else as light, only light, nothing else. And then I got that shocks, the electro shocks, and then appears the ceiling again in that light, and then the nurse came in that light, and the doctor came in that light, the room came in that light, and all things happened again in that same light. And now that light is still there, and you are happening in that same light. The light is always there, and you are vibrations of that light, nothing else. And the light is everywhere, after every eye. And all things happen in it. It's for always this. All things come and go. Only this stays. All things happen in you, is gone again, you are still there.
And so it happens to everyone in the physical death, and nobody's left out of it. So everyone wakes up when the body dies. It's not even everyone, there's not even everyone to wake up, it's always there.
I do have a question.
Yeah.
What about reincarnation? I mean, I don't know what to...
It's not a personal thing. I don't really know.
I seem to have memories from past lives, but
yeah.
I don't know where to place it, what to do with it.
Well, it's all not like you think it is, but you are everything, so everything that's ever happened and going to happen, it's not happening in time like you think it is, so of course that's going to arise and arise for last people, uh-huh. for most people, but it's not about you. It's not you or having, it's you that's having past life experiences.
I'm getting it.
So the mind thinks that you are a particular thing. So you're a body, your memories of that body, that your actions, your choices, your life experiences, and it says that's just who you are. But actually, you're everything that's ever happened, right back to the Big Bang, everything. That's who you actually are. Everything. But even saying you is confusing because that word always means just the body, just the feelings of the body. And it's very natural to remember things that aren't that body because you are everything. But it's not happening in time like you think it is. The Big Bang is happening now. Einstein's happening now. The past lives are happening now. The time that you imagine isn't the way life is happening. Lots of people report that back, but it's not because you're having past life experiences, it's because you are everything. So it's always who are you, and who you are is not just a limited body, not just a limited experience. It's all peering in boundlessness. So nobody gets reborn. Like, no, there's no fixed thing that you are. There's nobody that you were in previous lives. Like, there's not a solid you which carries on. But there is everything.
In a certain way, you are conditioned to think it is like that.
Yeah. Buddhists used to say, the Buddhist group that I was in, they used to say there isn't reincarnation, because in Buddhism they sometimes said reincarnation. They used to call it rebirth. And what they meant by rebirth, there was so much argument over this, but rebirth was just basically, it's just energy moving into different things. But there's no body that gets reborn. There's always an energetic expression, just like this light moving. Like, this is, what's your name?
Philip.
So if we say this is the expression of the Philip body, and then it moves, that energy moves into something else. We think we're just that tiny little blob there, but we're all of it. That constant movement of light.
I see it like a hologram, where everything goes through and then...
I don't have any relationship with a hologram. I don't even really know what it is.
Yeah, because I read about quantum physics.
Yeah.
And they say we are a hologram where everything passes through.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, it's easy to understand.
Yeah. Somebody else was mentioning it yesterday and I just was like, I have an image of like Star Trek or something, you know, where they appear. I don't really know what it is. I've never read them. Like, you know, is that what they call a hologram?
It's kind of like a 3D fractal.
Yeah. Oh,
like the computer, yes, and the film.
It's also on some of the money. Like, they have that little silver foil thing with the weird thing that you kind of can see the image moving, or you see it 3D.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hologram. Mm. And in that, supposedly, if you zoom in, like in a fractal,
you never find anything.
Each tiny little piece also contains that
hologram.
Ah, wow!
So it's a 3D fractal.
Wow!
Things passes through.
Oh, that's really beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. So.
Now I know. Now the hologram appears in this film.
You can take a picture of a hologram if you've got an actual hologram. So it's this big.
If you cut it into four pieces, on each one of the four pieces, you get the whole image again.
Oh my god.
And you can take it down again and again.
Yeah.
And even if it's like that big, the whole of the image
is
still there.
Wow.
Mm.
So just like a fractal, then.
Yes.
You can keep going in and in and in forever. Infinite.
It's a 3D prep.
Mm. John Norris.
Can I say something about that past life?
Yeah.
I see it like a dream, huh? One time you dream you are Napoleon. And then you are Napoleon and you are in the war and that dream dies. And then there comes a new dream. You are a little schoolgirl. You go to school and become an older wife, an older woman. And then that old woman tells my next in my past life I was Napoleon. And then there comes another dream. You are Philip.
Mm-hmm.
And you dream that you are Philip. And Philip says that in my next in my last time I was a little schoolgirl. The life before I was Napoleon. I remember.
I remember memory.
You got three dreams. Who coming up? Who coming up? And this was what you really are.
Yeah.
And the one dream has nothing to do with the other.
I was interested in from the viewpoint how will it improve my current condition, but.
Now the dream that there is a Philip who has past lives.
Lisa,
yeah?
In this context, recently I had some experiences that I can feel myself as I am now, but also already the old person that I'm maybe going to be once, and the little boy all in one here.
Yeah.
I can feel it with me. Somehow my attention widened up a little bit, and it makes time stand still a little bit more. It slows down things a little bit, which is quite nice actually.
And it changes the perspective that you're just that limited idea now. But the most important part of all of it is it's all happening in the timeless. Time is not like we imagine it. It's all happening in that
yes.
light, that stillness now.
Yes, well, it's not absolutely still as it is probably for you.
it can't vibrate a bit more.
No, but for now, the experience, the limited experience I have had now is that it kind of slows down the rush of my life. It's a little bit slower. It lets me stand still a little bit more. Yeah.
But the thing is that you're focusing too much on it being Matisse's awakening.
Yeah.
Like, it's not Matisse that awakens. Matisse is appearing in it.
Yeah.
So it's not about Matisse having more stillness. Matisse is appearing in stillness, and everything is in that stillness. But that's perfectly okay, though, if there's that feeling that Matisse is getting more still, because normally well, that's really nice that there's not so much friction and uncomfortableness.
No, not for now.
And then it's more obvious, maybe, this beingness that's always there.
Yes.
I mean, I keep swapping words for it: stillness, God, I.
Yeah, it certainly has a meaning. It has a meaning over here. I can very much relate with it.
And it's everywhere. It's not inside Matisse. It's not inside that body. It's everywhere. Matisse is appearing in it, and Matisse needs all other things. For Matisse to exist, all other things need to exist for this experience to happen, for this dream to happen, if you want to use the word dream. It couldn't just be, if it was just Matisse, there wouldn't, like that body, there has to be other things for it to be in a dream, for it to be in this appearance.
Yeah. I can see clearly. Yeah.
But then there's also this beingness which never moved, is absolutely timeless. The movement is only happening in beingness, the dream is only happening in beingness. And that's where the freedom lies. And it's an energy change from the focus on just the dream to this beingness. It swaps over, and then it's beingness, and then the dream's appearing in beingness.
And that I can sense too, because I can feel the old man with me, like 90 years old maybe. I can feel this, but still I know very well that maybe it's possible that I will die in 2 days, and still this old man could be there, and it's just as real.
Yeah.
It makes no difference at all.
Yeah. You aren't that age.
No, I am not. I am not an old man either, but it is there with me. Yeah. Or I am it, and I am not it.
Yeah.
It's all the same. It doesn't make any difference.
No. The problem always is for the character is trying to find its home in the dream. And the dream is always moving. And the home is in the dream because it's everything, it is everything. But it's not in a thing in the dream. So it's not in a situation. That's why we keep hammering on. It's not about pleasure, it's not about sorting things out, it's not about a future event or a past event or... Have a short coffee and pee break, we can. Yeah? Why not? And a biscuit break, maybe.